radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cyprus. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Broadcasting live from Rose Hill Beer Garden, family friendly, lots of beer on tap going on right now. They've got their April promo, the April Ale Hunt. You can get bingo by purchasing local draft beer, canned beer, or spirits. Each bingo is entered into a weekly raffle owned by Eddie Jackson, former NFL player, Food Network star.
He's got a food truck out there. There's three other food trucks other than his. I got to go out next commercial break and see which one I'm going to be grabbing some food from.
Well, now one of them here, I don't know if they're here today because they have eight that they rotate through, is Houdat's Crawfish. Ooh. So I might feel some crawfish during the show today.
Got to say this about crawfish, nothing against this vendor. Crawfish has gotten weirdly expensive.
Well, it's because it's a bad year, they said.
It's a bad year?
Yeah, and the first time I got crawfish, it was expensive, and they were tiny. So that was not thrilling to see.
It's pretty crazy the way that crustaceans over time have changed from being literally prison food.
Yeah.
Lobsters were prison
Which
food
is crazy
in
to
Maine.
Think about.
They were so readily available. It has transformed from that to a delicacy.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing with crawfish something similar. I mean, they're mud bucks. That's what you're supposed to call them.
Yeah, you're cleaning out turds when you're doing it. Like,
don't tell me that. I don't want to think about them, you know, that hot water being full of crawfish turds. I want to think of it being filled with corn and potatoes and good seasoning.
Yeah, oh, the seasoning's so good. We always go extra seasoning on the side.
Oh, yeah. I want to basically need to drink, like, 2 cups of water per 10 crawfish I have.
Yeah,
spicy as hell.
I love crawfish season. That's one of my favorite things about living in Texas now. They're illegal in Illinois.
Crawfish. They're illegal?
Yep.
Why?
Because they say like it'll ruin the, the farming or something. It's something to do with the land. It's not about the actual like sale of the crawfish. It's something about farming and what it would do to the land in Illinois. So they made it illegal.
I'm sure if you slid the right money under the right table to the right corruption, Illinois or Chicago politician, it'll be fine. You could get money.
Yeah, as corrupt as you can go. 338 so astutely points out that if Jake Myers is on pace for 162 home runs, he's also on pace to be benched 162 times. So that's a astute observation.
Right. 338. I mean, there was a moment this season, Joe, and I put this out there, where Jake Myers was on pace for a preposterous amount of home runs. How many, you might ask? Well, there once was a moment where Jake Myers was on pace for around 486 home runs.
Okay, I need you to do the math like I'm five.
So, you assume Jake Myers gets 3 at-bats a game.
Okay.
And that he gets a home run in every single at-bat.
Okay.
And you do that over 162 games because he's not going to get hurt because no Astros ever get hurt. And that all adds up to around 486. And I wonder if ESPN would cover Jake Myers hitting 486 home runs the same way that they would cover the 7th most home runs in American League history by Aaron Judge. But 486 home runs, guys, in case you didn't know, in case you're not we're not math guys here.
Well, that's why I need you to explain the math, because I'm just like, one home run in a game equals 162 on pace.
So, Jake Myers are currently on pace for 162 home runs. That also would shatter the record for 7th most home runs in American League history by Aaron Judge.
The Rangers also unveiled their banner yesterday.
Oh, man. Speaking of, everyone was ripping it because they said this looks like something straight out of Fanatics.
I mean, like,
it's their first time. It's their first time. Cut them some slack.
It is the most cheap banner you can get. I mean, it's wrinkled.
Yeah, you got to get an iron. Here's the thing. Like,
it's a large iron you need.
What the Astros do is they have metallic banners. So maybe they do that. I don't know. But, yeah, if that's the first thing you're hanging, you got to do better. I'm assuming this is a temporary solution, but they had months to figure this out. You got to nail your first and possibly only defending World Series champion opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, they got robbed by umpires, arguably, at the end of the game, which I loved. I loved seeing that.
Yeah.
I backed the blue. It's a tough job. You got to make split-second decisions.
I wish I could. They all suck.
Umpires are the worst.
They're not great.
They just get everything wrong.
But, I, you know, it's a tough job, so someone's got to back them.
Yeah, but like, can't you get a little bit more? I know they probably do get more right than wrong, but it doesn't feel like it.
I want an American flag, and instead of having like the, you know, the Blue Lives Matter flag, I want it to, it's having the star location. I want it to have Joe West and Angel Hernandez. Like the, every single star is just like Joe West and Angel Hernandez making an angry face when they're getting into it with somebody who effed up a call.
Ump Lives Matter.
Who had a call effed up by those two. Yeah, Ump Lives Matter, they do.
7442, how is Singleton on an MLB team? I mean, look, he's a depth piece. I don't agree with him coming in for Jake Myers.
It's strange. He's got a good eye. That's legitimately it, but he's not a good hitter.
Yeah. Also, you know,
you're bringing him in to get a walk.
I know it's not the majority. You know, it's a very small group of people. But can you guys, like, if you got friends who are some of the people who are being, like, super-duper racist on his wife's Instagram post yesterday, can you tell him to,
it looked like it was one account.
Go kick rocks. It does look like it's one account.
It was one account. If you did see that, I don't know if they got deleted or whatever, but if you see stuff like that, pounce on that son of a bitch.
Yeah, tell those people to go.
I mean, those people, they deserve to be bullied, and this is definitely one of those troll accounts because I believe his avatar was not even a picture. So, I mean, just an absolute POS. But, look, Singleton, you're not expecting Singleton to win you a game. I thought Singleton got unfair guff last year in the ALCS when they brought him in again after he had drawn a key walk that led to Jose Altuve's 3-1 homer. You're bringing in Singleton because he's got a good eye. It's unfortunate he's not the best contact hitter. When he does make contact, he obviously can drive the ball very far, but it doesn't happen very often. So these are your limitations with Singleton, and that's why I think it's weird that they brought him in there instead of Mauricio Dubon there.
Well, it does seem to be a trend, an early trend. I know it's because in this one moment, it's not one game. I guess it's two games because that first ALCS game is when Dusty Baker got thrown out, and Dusty Baker said after the game that it was Joe Espada's decision to bring in John Singleton in that moment, and then he did it again yesterday. So this might be something that we see more of this year. I don't love that, but Joe Espada in two big moments in his managerial career has chosen to go with John Singleton over the guys that were in the game.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but it did work once.
It worked once. So
it worked when Dusty was ejected.
So 50% hit rate when Joe Espada as the manager.
That's pretty good. That, you know what? That's batting 500.
Yeah, if you're
hitting, or I guess that's on base percentage of 500. Yeah, not so, batting 500.
He's fine. Like it's not the end of the world that they made that decision. I would not do it again. Specifically, my issue with it, Paul, is that Jake Myers did hit a home run in the game.
That's where it's weird. He had a good game.
It's not like he was 0-for-3 and looked completely lost like we have seen Jake Myers look before.
And it was explained to us as a righty-righty decision, and that's why Chandler Rome wrote that article where he said, like, hey, look, I mean, Espada made some ballsy decisions in this one, and all of them backfired.
Yeah.
Pretty much every single one of them backfired. And that's unfortunate because that's going to happen from time to time. You know, you're not going to go 100,000 for 100,000 with the decisions that you make over the course of a year. But I do want the people that were calling for Dusty's head last year just to recognize that you're going to be doing the same thing this year as well.
They will. I mean, they're going to complain about him all the time.
But they acted like things were going to be dramatically better without him. And it's like, no, guys, the managers make some decisions, but the players have to execute. The pitchers have to make pitches. And it's weird to blame in a sport where I think the manager does the absolute – or the coach does the absolute least, baseball. It's weird that the managers get blamed. Like, it's Dusty Baker's fault that he didn't win a World Series all those years? Is it really his fault? Yeah. Obviously, there's some decisions you can look at and say, like, yeah, well, maybe it was his fault here, here, and here. But I don't know, man. One of the winningest managers ever.
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to blame the manager. Like, and they're going to –
that's dumb.
To your point, like, the idea that everything would just be magically better with Dusty Baker not making the decisions, it's not the case. I was ready for the Dusty thing to end because I thought that more going back to even when they won the World Series, that the hand stuff with Yordan Alvarez was a little concerning, that Dusty Baker was, you know, going on the record saying that both hands were hurt, and then Yordan was having to refute that. I mean, I remember in Dusty Baker's first interview with Matt on the flagship, he overindulged in 2020. And his next time he was on the flagship and did an interview, they asked him about injuries, and he, on the record, said, I was told I said too much last week, so now they're not telling me as much. And that was a little concerning because at the time, it was like, why are you hiring Dusty Baker? Now, he did a great job here. So I was just ready for the new era of Astros baseball, and didn't want to lose Joe Espada to another team. So I'm glad they made the move. But, yeah, they're always going to blame the manager. And the people, to your point, that thought everything was going to be magically better, they're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, things don't just get fixed because your manager is changed faces. Frankly, more oftentimes, it's going to create new issues. Like, maybe with what we saw yesterday. There was people on the text line earlier talking about they did not like that Presley came in the seventh. That might be something, too, that they go to more often. That if Joe Espada is going to really go to more non-traditional roles within the bullpen, that there might be a learning curve for Presley having to get ready in the seventh versus the eighth. And, you know, for, 4 years now, he's been only pitching in the ninth inning unless something dramatic was going to happen. So it's there's a lot of changes with this team, but it's one game.
It is just one game, ultimately. I mean, it's just easy to overreact to that one game.
Well, it's funny
because it's been a while.
One of my biggest takeaways from Dusty Baker leaving was that the content was going to go away a little bit. That maybe we get
I knew it wasn't.
Less of a content machine.
I know all these hypocrites are going to come right back into doing the same thing. So, yeah. There will always be content. I wanted to bring this up. This is a side tangent, but it's part of my frustration with the game not starting at a time where I could have made it over from the decoy. If we're going to do day baseball on a day where it's 72 degrees outside, why are you closing the roof?
I don't know.
Especially when, after the game, they opened the roof. Please explain that to me. It was opening day. It was a perfect day. It wasn't a hot day in Houston. All right, maybe it was getting towards like the mid-70s or something like that. But it was a beautiful day outside. You got this retractable roof. And just like with the Houston Texans, you close it. It's opening day, beautiful weather, and the game is during the day at 3 o'clock, which doesn't happen that often. Why is it closed for this game? What is the point of having the 3 o'clock first pitch if you're not even going to open things up?
I don't get it. I mean, let's say they play 190 games total this season, so like what they play, like 95 games at home, including the postseason.
Wait, 190?
Well, if you postseason run.
Wait.
No, I'm thinking total.
Your math is very off.
Why? They play 162 regular season games.
It's not 30 game postseason? And also, you're playing maybe. No, we're talking like at max,
oh,
like
yeah,
18,
I forgot.
And
I
you're playing
thinking,
half the
no, middle. You're right.
Your math is undefeated.
You're right.
It's undefeated.
I was thinking.
I think 190.
No,
damn.
No, this is what I did.
Expanded playoffs and then some.
Let me explain. For some reason. I thought NBA playoffs for a second, and I thought 4 7-game series.
Okay, fair.
And I was like, wait a minute. So
your excuse is another sport?
Yes.
even then, it would be like 16 at most.
No, well, because if you played all, that's all 28 games. Yep, that's right.
Be 14, though, would be at home, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, so my point was like, you play 80 games at home this year, right? Let's say.
Sorry. I'm
so more
here.
It's like you play maybe 70 games at home this year. Maybe 10 of them. I know.
I'm lost in your math right
I'm
now.
So lost, but
I'm so lost in your math.
But I like watching him try to get out of it.
Okay. Pause. Time out. 10 games this year at most. So maybe 15. It's nice enough to have the roof open, and they chose not to do it. That's where I was trying to get to.
You landed that plane all right. Where are you, Boeing? Jesus.
It was a bumpy landing. No, we're not all dead, so it's not Boeing. the wheels are still on, I think.
You don't have to cover your face. We just know you're down and down. I like this recurring bit.
Today wasn't Boeing. The other day was Boeing.
Yeah,
with the 162 times 2 equals over 600.
Yeah, that was bad. It's, all right, well.
Times 4, though, it does.
The roof should have been open.
I agree.
Ta-da. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Glant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, I'm so lost. Coming up next, Texans win total, 9.5 this year. Are they going to hit it? We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Some of you might be thinking that, wow, Joe, he's had a few too many Pendletons before he said that. No, he didn't. He didn't. But you know what I'm going to have later tonight when I get home after hanging out with everybody who's paying tribute to Fred Fowler. I'm going to get myself a glass of Pendleton whiskey, One Rock, two fingers, smooth, refreshing, not too sweet, perfect blend in all sorts of different cocktails. You can make essentially like a I'm not even speaking English. Joe can't do math. I can't speak English. But you can do your own version of a Moscow Mule with Pendleton whiskey. There's a Pendleton Mule. You can make a Pendleton Rodeo, essentially a Rodeo Mary. It is a Bloody Mary. You just put Pendleton in as well. I think it blends great with coffee. Pendleton whiskey is great, guys. And you know why it's great? Because it's made with some awesome stuff. It's cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. It is, on top of that, made with the finest northern grains, and it's barrel-aged in American oak. You blend it all together, you get some glorious, wonderful stuff. Get it at Drizzly. Get it at your local liquor store. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress.
8693, Jordan moving up to number two in the lineup, guaranteed him to bat in the bottom of the ninth, with him the third batter up, already a fan of a spot his lineup. That is a positive thing that happened yesterday's game, so at least he was there.
Right.
And they had a shot at it. And, I mean, look, obviously they got more at-bats than that, but it was I really liked the lineup construction. Normally it's not a big thing for me that I care about. I'll just trust what's being put out there. But I love Alvarez and Tucker batting back-to-back, and I was excited to hear Joe Espada say that that's going to be pretty consistent going forward. So it's a plus. There were still good things that happened in yesterday's game. But it's not all bad.
Josh Hader.
Oh, that guy is sick.
That is about as awesome a debut as you're going to get.
Yeah.
Three up, three down, three Ks.
Yeah. 6517, as a taxpayer, I'm not voting for a retractable roof stadium ever again here.
It's not like you have a choice.
Yeah.
You probably voted to demolish the Astrodome. Guess what? They didn't demolish it. They turned it into a historical landmark. Ed Emmett pulled a fast one.
I don't think that... At one point, I tried to challenge the idea with when I was on the Bees about there being a new football stadium at some point, just because I question if Houston is going to be in the running again for a Super Bowl in the near future, and the only way to really guarantee one is a new stadium. I don't think we're really...
They got the money to do it. I think that they will eventually. Where is the question? I don't know where they would do it.
Yeah, I don't think Minute Maid or Toyota Center, though, would be up for... replacing those soon.
I would imagine, you know, the area that's around East River 9, which they seem to be developing.
Yeah.
If there were to be a new Houston sports development, I feel like it would be something there. I don't know if that's a hockey arena or if that's a football stadium. The hockey arena seems very doubtful. I'll say this over and over again about NRG area. No offense to everybody in that area, but that is not an area that I want to go to. It's just kind of out of the way. And on top of that, there's nothing really around NRG Stadium that I want to go to. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not an indictment on the neighborhood. It's just that area used to be just the Astrodome, and now it's essentially just NRG Stadium and the Astrodome. No one is ever going to turn the Astrodome into this thing that people want it to be turned into, because there's no reason to do it, to turn it into a convention center or anything like that. No one is going to go there, and it's going to cost so much money just to get rid of all the crap that's inside there already. So... if there is a new stadium, I think it's going to be in a totally different spot, and I guess that's where it would go. But to your original point, I do think there will be eventually a new stadium for the Houston Texans. Yeah, man, this is considered an old stadium. I mean, we've seen with the Rangers, that stadium wasn't that old. They built a brand new one not too long afterwards. We saw it with the Atlanta Braves. They built a new stadium as well.
They built like three stadiums.
Right. It's definitely possible. I think there are some elements of NRG Stadium, specifically the acoustics for concerts, that need some work. Like, I don't enjoy concerts at NRG Stadium.
They're not
kind
great.
Of the, one of the things about the rodeo that kind of gets overlooked.
Yeah, a new stadium for the Texans seems way more likely than it does for the Astros or the Rockets.
I would agree with you there.
Because I think both those teams like being downtown.
That area has gotten, I think, a lot better. I mean, specifically, like that. And of course, Jim Crane's investing in the area in the near future, too.
Oh, yeah, they're going to build Craneville, then. They're definitely not.
Right. I mean, you know, just yesterday, like, there's so many places that are within walking distance of those two parks. For example, like Highway Cantina, where I was watching the game yesterday. Fancy margaritas, $9.75. You do not have that around NRG Stadium, and I bet that to a degree, the Houston Texans would want something like that. I guess the really tricky thing would be, all right, well, where do you move the Houston Livestock and Rodeo Show? Because that grounds has been where it's been for 3 weeks every single year for ever.
Yeah, I mean, but like, if they want a Super Bowl, then they're going to need a stadium because it's not coming back to Houston anytime soon.
I agree, and it's a bummer because I feel like every single time they've had a Super Bowl here, one, the game's been great.
Yeah.
But two, I feel, and maybe it was different in 03, or excuse me, 04, when it was Patriots, Panthers. I like the fact that the Patriots win Super Bowls at Houston.
I'm sure you do.
That's pretty sick. But I think, like, this, the last time around, I the weather was perfect.
Yeah.
The Discovery Green area had just been finished. All the convention stuff.
Yeah, George R. Brown's great. It's just the fact that, like, you're not Vegas, you're not L.A. You're not Miami.
But you are a fun city.
You are.
I've lived in five different places, and Houston is by far the most fun.
Oh, yeah.
Houston's nightlife is underrated, and this is one of the reasons I stay drinking as much as I do and probably stay single. I like to go out to the bars that are here. Houston is actually a very fun party city. It's just spread out. And obviously some people like the gentlemen's establishments that you've got here. It would be cool to have another Super Bowl here, but I feel like they're probably, to what you were saying, going to need a new stadium.
Yeah, hopefully with C.J. Stroud as the quarterback of the Texans, so there's even just a chance
Super Bowl
that they could be playing here. Would be awesome.
Hell yeah.
Seems unlikely. Speaking of the Texans, their win total came out for this year all the win totals came out this year, really post-free agency before the draft. They won't really change much after the draft. I guess, like, you'll see, depending on who the Patriots and Washington pick a quarterback. But so for the most part, they're set. The Texans are set at 9.5 wins this year. That's a good number this year because we've talked about their schedule. There are more weaker opponents than maybe when it first came out officially than we would have thought. You know, at one point you assumed Kirk Cousins would still be the quarterback of the Vikings. He obviously no longer is. So 9.5 is the win total for the team this year. First blush reaction for you is over or under?
I hate saying this, but I feel like right now I feel like under, and it has nothing to do with what the Texans did last year. I just feel like, much like the Astros had their 2016 after 2015 before 2017, I just think with the Astros, excuse me, with the Texans' schedule, it's just a lot tougher. And they had, I think, a very favorable schedule this past season, partly due to finishing in last place, but also because they just didn't have to go up against a lot of quarterbacks. This year, at home, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, depending on how you like them. We'll see what happens with Caleb Williams. You have Jared Goff in a good Lions offense. You have a Colts offense with Shane Steichen that has given you some issues, even with Gardner Minshew under center. Trevor Lawrence is not bad. He's above average as a quarterback. And we'll see what happens with Will Levis in year number two. Those are just your home games. Then on the road, okay, it's again Shane Steichen and that Colts offense. Again, it is Trevor Lawrence. Again, it's Will Levis. But you also have the Chiefs, the Jets potentially with Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love had a great finish to last year. The Vikings are definitely an easier target, as you mentioned, no Kirk Cousins anymore. And then Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. The defense is going to be asked to do a lot. Is the pass rush going to be able to make up for, right now, a team that does not have a true number two corner that has safety issues? I wonder. I think some quarterbacks are going to be able to pick them apart, unless the pass rush for the Texans is the best pass rush in the NFL. And yeah. I don't know if that's going to be that yet.
No, I mean, they were 10th last year, so it's still, while it was good, like, you know,
they did add 28 sacks from last year with Autry and with Danielle Hunter, and losing Jonathan Grenard for what he was paid, I don't think that's as big of a deal.
The three teams with the biggest number, I mean, you play two of them. You play Kansas City and Baltimore this year. Those two teams plus San Francisco are set at 11.5 over-under this year. I would always go over on Kansas City just because,
yeah,
it's Patrick Mahomes.
And look at the AFC West. I mean, the Broncos are going to stink this year. The Raiders, I mean, they're talking about Aiden O'Connell as like, having an opportunity.
Yeah.
and, you know, it's – and then you got the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh, so I guess they'll be a little bit more tricky, but
– they're fascinating. The way they talk about offensive line, they're going to draft Joel at number five or whatever and just – and
who?
He's the left tackle from Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
Who the Chargers probably – I think they're going to take.
Does he just go by one name? Is he like a soccer player?
Joel Alt?
Oh, I thought you said Joel.
Oh, no, Joel Alt.
Okay, gotcha.
I see what you said. I see.
Yeah,
I see why it's confusing.
Okay, yeah.
I understand that. Our 10-minute drill, that's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Rose Hill Beer Garden.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Jadeveon Clowney, officially a member of the Carolina Panthers. What a move for them. Really going to...
I like Clowney. Don't hate on Clowney.
I just can't imagine, like, that's being the decision you want to make in your career. I know he wanted to go home, talk to his, you know, high school teammate. I didn't know him and Stephon Gilmore played high school ball together about, you know, going to Carolina. But your last stop in Carolina, where they're expected to win less than 5 games next year, I just don't know if that's how I want my career to end.
Why?
I'd rather chase the bag or a little less money with, like, Baltimore, like he was doing. Try to get a Super Bowl.
But this is chasing the bag.
Yeah, less of a bag.
It's chasing the bag to go home. I mean, if you've been in the league for a while.
Don't you want to win?
You want to win, but ultimately, how many places are going to bring in Jadeveon Clowney that want to win?
Sure.
Because Clowney's always going to have some people that are second-guessing his work ethic.
Yeah.
Whether fair or unfair. All I know is when that guy's on the field, he's a damn good player. He's one of the best run defenders I think that we've seen in the NFL over the last 20 years.
Bill, your coach, your former coach.
Who dat?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah?
Writing a book.
I'm reading that.
I wonder if it'll be a response to the documentary that just
came out. No, man, he's not like that.
You don't think so?
I don't think. He doesn't care at all about this. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I the only one thing I would wonder if he, some of the Aaron Hernandez stuff that was in the documentary,
but
if he want to respond to that.
But what's, you know, what are you supposed to say? Like, that had nothing to do with him.
That's true.
The idea that Aaron Hernandez is a byproduct of Bill Belichick is, honestly, the thought that only somebody who hates the Patriots would have. And if you're going to dump on anybody, Robert Kraft for that decision.
Yeah.
Because they gave him the contract extension right before everything came to light. Like, they knew about the risks when they took him. Clearly he had made a checkered pass at Florida. So, no. I think the Belichick book, because the man is such a historian when it comes to football, I think it'll be a very interesting read, and I think there'll be a lot of references to great players that he's coached over the course of his career. I mean, people forget, he was in Cleveland for a franchise leaving town, made a controversial quarterback decision there, benching Bernie Kosar, and he also was one of the best defensive coordinators ever with the New York Giants under Bill Parcells and coaching Lawrence Taylor, arguably the greatest defender to ever play.
The NFL is going to put up their 2 Christmas Day games up for auction because they're going to be playing on a Wednesday.
What channel do you want it to be on?
I don't care.
You don't care?
Not Apple TV.
Because
I have the rest.
There's a part of me that wants it to be on Amazon because I just want to hear the disgust in Al Michaels' voice.
Yeah.
I love it when Al Michaels is cranky on the broadcast, essentially. That's, like, this game's terrible. Yeah, well, he can be a Grinch now on a broadcast. He doesn't care anymore. Just give him his halftime buffet of steak and he'll be okay.
So they're starting the bidding at $50 million. The NFL is so crazy profitable.
Yep.
The fact that they're going to say, guaranteed, we're going to get $100 million for 2 games if no one bids on it. So it's going to obviously go way higher than
that.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's just the NFL. It's why they rule the world, Paul.
It's why it's the number one league in the United States of America and the world.
Yeah. I love the people who are... Oh, the NFL is going to die because they keep changing the rules and they're ruining the game.
People still watch. They watch even more every year. Now you can legally gamble on it.
Because that's what it's about.
It's not going anywhere, man.
It's only going to get better, honestly. It's only going to get bigger.
The sport is not going to get better, but it will continue to increase in terms of popularity.
Well, because
it only has to this point. Where is it going to stop? Basketball kind of got to a point where it seemed like the interest in basketball was a lot inflated compared to what it actually was. Specifically, I'm talking about the NBA. The online interest in the NBA has been made out to be significantly higher than what the actual average person's interest in the league is.
Well, in the NFL, the rule changes. It's one of the things that makes their sport just more enjoyable to the average fan. Fantasy football and people like betting overs. Those are the most common things that you get. You know, prop bets. And when you do prop bets and you're putting together these parlays, these same game parlays that are so popular now, no one goes defense. Like, you're not picking defensive players to do all this stuff. So the more they change the rules and make it more offensive friendly versus defensive friendly, they're just appealing more to the average Joes of the world that love the game. Mm-hmm. We didn't really touch too much on the we read the Woody Johnson response. I think it's that I was just reading it again, thinking about how he's just calling out the NFL's own media department for just nonsense reporting. It's like the only league that I think you typically see this, and I give the NFL Network credit for not walking it back.
Yeah.
Because if this was the MLB Network or NBA TV that's not involved, you know, Charles Barkley and Shaq, I feel like they're walking their story back in some way and trying to pretend like it never happened, and the NFL doesn't do that, and it's why I love them.
Nothing gets hidden. The truth will always come out.
The Chiefs signed this rugby guy.
A rugby guy?
A rugby guy.
You know more about rugby than me.
I don't know who this guy is. Louis?
I thought you were a big rugby expert.
I mean, I like rugby.
You played rugby.
Yeah, but it's one
rugby
of those,
legend Joe George here.
It's kind of, it's just like overseas soccer. It's
not like overseas soccer.
No, in terms of its
oh, in terms of what you know. Okay,
in terms of when it's
too early in the morning.
Too early. It's harder to watch.
I know that the Houston SaberCats. I tried out for them once. Did not make the team. Also, I know that the New Zealand All Blacks are terrifying.
They are.
I mean, that's the best rugby team in the world.
I also just
that's been talking rugby.
Yeah. I like
how about the Springboks in South Africa? Big year for them. How about Australia?
That's an
underrated sport. That's a continent and a country and a team.
The Invincible.
Yeah.
Or no, Invictus.
Invictus.
Underrated sport.
I actually read the book version of that for college class back in the day, and the book was better than the movie.
So if the Texans could sign one non-traditional athlete, who do you want them to sign? A rugby player? An NBA player,
sumo wrestler.
They
need a defensive tackle.
They do need a defensive tackle.
Give me a big old just blob of a human being to occupy all the space and shove people back.
I still can't believe they haven't signed a real defensive tackle. They lost Rankins and Collins, one of them by choice, and traded them away. They really are.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're watching like me. You know, I'm an expert on Japan now. The last episode of Tokyo Vice. Damn, that was awesome. Watched it yesterday. Last episode of Shogun. It is okay. But as someone who now knows about...
Is the Shogun series season over?
Not yet. Okay. No.
How much is left?
That I do not know. I believe that episode 6 was this week's episode, where Tokyo Vice episode 9 was this week's episode. Both fantastic shows. I cannot recommend them more. But, you know, as an expert, I mean, clearly they're right now they're taking a look around Japan looking for the biggest hog molly they can. They could probably sign for a discount, too. There should be more sumo wrestlers in the NFL. What are we doing here?
Yeah,
if you get one as a defensive tackle, like, you just tell the guy to just push people forward. Come on.
That would be so funny watching, like, if you get one of those giant sumo wrestlers trying to see them actually play in the NFL.
Oh, that would be sick.
I would very much enjoy that.
And Fuentes Respecter is suggesting strongman, like the guy who plays the mountain. Hathor Bjornsson.
I like that strategy. But at the same time, probably wouldn't pass the steroid test.
What? You don't think that's natural?
No. What position does he play?
Intimidator.
Because I don't know if he's a...
He just menaces.
I feel like he's a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I just want everybody to play defensive tackle, and you just hope that they shove these guys as far back as they possibly can.
Well, because they can be as big and strong as possible, but they're not exactly, you know, the most fleet of feet.
Oh, don't tell Seth Payne that. He's deceptively fast.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Seth's not as large as the... or as strong.
Whoa! Joe George said Seth is not strong.
Not as strong as...
We'll put that on the podcast.
Not as strong as the mountain.
I don't know.
Come on,
if they were in an Oklahoma drill, I would take Seth.
Well, yes.
Well, that's what I mean, though. But that's how we're measuring them for strength. We're not talking about like lifting weights.
Yeah, I don't know how much Seth is still lifting these days, though. The mountain's still active.
I have Seth, if you're listening, which you're probably not, I have faith in you.
Yeah,
Joe George is a hater.
Sorry, Seth. I apologize for being a hater. All right, that does it for our 10-minute drill.
How far can Seth toss Joe George?
Ooh. Well, it depends on how much he's lifting right now. You know, because I'm losing weight.
Yeah, that's true. You're gonna be a little lighter for the toss.
But if the toss was happening right now, we still have some progress to go.
Yeah, and you still got some of that booze from yesterday in you, so you're a little heavier.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bloated. I mean, a little bloated with booze, bro.
The shots were not, you know, not making me gain too many LBs. Mexican shots are not a...
No. Well, hey, it's a couple of calories.
Couple, yeah, but it's not like a dangerous amount of calories.
No.
Saquon Barkley, he admitted, we mentioned this earlier, that the Texans were his number one choice. Now that they've cleared this cap space, are you disappointed that they didn't just sign Saquon Barkley instead of going with Joe Mixon? We'll discuss that next year on Glatt and George on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Sean was talking about it with us in the commercial break. We're going to give you, with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, the Texas three-step, because we're going to put together a parlay with MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 as soon as you sign up. We are going straight Houston against the world tonight. First, you got the Apple TV game. The Astros are 1.5 run dogs at home, where they don't hit very well, against Carlos Rodon and the New York Yankees. It's a lefty. Maybe you don't feel good about the Astros hitting against lefties. I do. Astros, 1.5 run favorites. You're taking the Astros. Then, take a look at the National Basketball Association. 8:30, your Rockets. 8-point favorites against the Jazz. We're taking them to cover. And then, our beloved Cougs are facing the hated Duke Blue Devils. 4-point favorites with an 8:39 tip-off. You're taking them. Boom, boom, boom. Texas three-step, and you can do it at mybookie.ag. You can also play blackjack. You can play poker with live dealers. Mybookie.ag is where you can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. It's mybookie.ag. Again, promo code BET975. Get that Texas three-step in tonight.
Glatt and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Rose Hill Beer Garden in Cypress. Here's Paul Glatt and Joe George.
So Saquon Barkley was on In the Heights, the Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce podcast.
Okay.
And he said that he was being heavily recruited by CJ Stroud and the Texans were his number one option at one point in free agency. And then he pivoted away and ended up going with the Eagles. I'm sure it's because the money was not there. You know, they seem pretty far apart from reports that we saw from Aaron Wilson and others on that first and second day of free agency, going after Barkley. But now that they've, without knowing what the Texans' next move is, now that they have 16.5 in cap space from restructuring Shaq and Titus, are you more disappointed the fact that they went after Mixon and gave him this contract instead of just should have just gone with Saquon? Or is it no effect for you?
If you got to pick between the two, Saquon's a better player. But the question with Saquon is availability, and that's my big sticking point when it comes to these running backs. Yes, one is better than the other. I'm not saying the Texans necessarily made the right decision by sticking to their guns or sticking to their budget. But because there is a chance, maybe Saquon Barkley doesn't get hurt with Philadelphia. Maybe Philadelphia spells him right. They do have some alternative running backs there. Kenneth Gainwell's a pretty good backup. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely had him in fantasy football the two of the last 3 years. But to bring it back to Barkley, it's a lot of money for a guy that's been injured a lot. It was a lot of money for a guy who was averaging 3.9 yards a carry. I get it. He was on a team that has, a bad offensive line and things like that. But ultimately, I feel like when it comes to Saquon Barkley, I think that walking away at that price, it's not the end of the world. Though, yeah, Mixon isn't Saquon Barkley, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not the contract that I have the issue with. It's more about just the idea that now you have this cap space and you potentially chose the worst running back. I still like Mixon, the football player. The biggest thing for me now is it's looking back on it. It's why didn't you do some of these moves early, these restructures early? He's gonna grab your buzzer.
Oh, okay.
That if you could have done these moves earlier, you could have had more flexibility in the off season. And so it's not that I have an issue with either of the direction of the move, that you go with Mixon or you didn't choose Barkley, but I just kind of question Nick Caserio's timing a little bit of why didn't you restructure these deals right as the offseason hit like we've seen other teams do.
Yeah.
And you have more of that flexibility right away, and you have more of an understanding of how much cap space you have to play with. So if you wanted to choose Saquon Barkley, you could have done so and had a better just knowledge of just where you were at as a franchise.
But I think that's why they walked away. I mean, they kind of did do that already. You know,
that's true.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like with Saquon Barkley, I know a lot of people online who play fantasy football are going to be whiny little babies about it. But ultimately, is this going to be the biggest difference between them winning a Super Bowl and not winning a Super Bowl?
No.
The idea that they would have won that game against Baltimore because they had Saquon Barkley or because they had Joe Mixon, it's crazy. That wasn't what was going to get them over the top. They needed an offensive line that could have protected C.J. Stroud specifically against all of those Baltimore Ravens defensive linemen.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they had that. And they'll have it next year, in theory. Like, you're always healthy in theory. Now, a lot of the depth pieces that Nick Caserio did a really good job bringing in, he's lost. I mean, Josh Jones, George Fanter, I think both those guys are gone. They brought back Charlie Heck, who's actually been a serviceable player for the Houston Texans. I remember when they first drafted him, it was just like, why? Why are you drafting another tackle?
Big draft expert here.
No, but it's just like, you had Titus and you had
so Tunsil. It's not like they drafted him in the first four rounds.
I know, but it's always...
You draft people, man. Like, I can tell. You're one of these people that pays way too much attention to the draft stuff.
Oh, definitely.
You shouldn't. It doesn't... People getting mad about, like, picking a guy in, like, the fifth or the sixth or the seventh round. Like, I don't understand that.
Well, for me, it's more about the... It was that Nick Caserio... Like, he was the Nick Caserio's first draft, right? Mm-hmm. With Davis Mills and those guys. It's just another one of those. Well, you already have tackles. Like,
yeah, but you should always draft offensive. You should always draft offensive linemen. You should always draft defensive linemen, and you should always draft if you don't have a quarterback. Those are my rules. I don't care where you get them. Just get a guy. See what happens. If it doesn't work out, or if you don't feel like you're getting positive vibes right away, then hey, guess what? You do it again the next year, and the next year, and the next year. But offensive line and defensive line depth are the two biggest keys to winning a Super Bowl in the NFL. And it's great when you can find a guy that is not one of those first or second round picks where you're putting a lot of pressure on them right away to succeed. So I think you should always spin the wheel at that position.
So this is a conversation I've heard so many times between Joel and Jeremy. And they just, you know, typically when they're yelling at each other about feelings and things like that that matter and don't matter. Typically,
yes.
I lean towards that. I don't believe in that players, you know, want to play in certain franchises and take less money. It is interesting, like you see in the Texans, both sides of that. Saquon wasn't willing to take less money, but the Texans were his number one choice. And then you have Danielle Hunter, who took less money to be here. It's nice that the Texans are in the point of a franchise. I would say, in my view, Paul, the first time ever where they've had cap space and you're hearing players really, really want to be here.
Yeah,
that
it's
are
nice.
Talented.
Yeah.
For the first time.
It's funny.
I don't know.
It's funny to hear it. I don't even remember if it was the case back in 2011 or 2012.
I don't.
Now, obviously, social media was a little bit different.
So you don't know as
versus
much.
Now. So, yeah, I don't think as many players were as forward with their opinions on things about where they wanted to go. Obviously, signing Ed Reed seemed to be a sign that people wanted to come play for the Houston Texans at the time. But, yeah, people want to play here now. You got the quarterback. You got the head coach that everybody likes. You got an owner who's unmeddlesome, maybe to his own detriment before, but now, I mean, not being meddlesome is great.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's nice to not be such a laughingstock of the NFL.
Well,
anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, I know that the Twitch gets pissed off whenever we talk about the NFL and football, but, like, for me, like, I'm sorry, the only sport that I love, truly love, is football and the NFL, specifically above all others, and it sucked when I was first back here. Knowing that nobody wanted me to talk about the Texans.
Because it was so bad.
And obviously, I got to a point at the flagship where I had been conditioned to believe that you got to talk about them as much as possible. But I still want to talk about them a little bit.
Yeah.
And we were not talking about them at all in September and October. And it was just weird, man. Like, you should at least have some casual interest in your football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are.
Looking at the... What's your order, then? Like, what's your go-to? So football's number one.
Football's number one. Number one, number one, number one.
What's number two?
Basketball.
Okay. Three?
Game of Thrones.
And so you're Astros? aren't number three?
Well, Game of Thrones and then Astros. Okay. Game of Thrones to me is a sport.
It is.
The good episodes when people are dying, and hopefully House of the Dragons brings it back, to me, that's like an actual sport. And then, let me think.
Because you're not big on college sports, right, in general?
I like college football.
Okay.
But I am a casual observer of college football, for sure. Like, I watch a game, and I'm like, oh, yeah, number 30, he was great. You know, because I'm generally watching, when I'm watching college football, Saturdays, to me, are sacred in football season, and I like to go to the bars and watch college football games with my friends. And, yeah, I'll pay a little attention, to if it's a Texas or Texas A&M or someone like that, I'll try to get the names and all that stuff. This is probably not making me sound like the biggest purveyor of sports.
Well, no, because I think, Paul, there are way more people that just do not watch college football. I mean,
you might watch your specific school, but I try to watch the big games every single week of college football. So I'd put college football over baseball and the Astros too.
Yeah.
So no offense, I just don't like baseball that much.
No, that's fine. I think the reason why, I come off as one of those draft people, is I like college football more than the NFL.
You do.
I love sitting down on a Saturday dumber. And watching football from 11 a.m. until Hawaii is done.
Can you sing the fight song?
Oh, no, I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Why, you're a musical theater guy. Well, you can't sing the Notre Dame fight song? You're a Notre Dame guy.
Well, I didn't go to Notre Dame.
Cheer for Notre Dame. I don't know the rest of the words, but come on.
I got that first part, though.
Jeez, how do you not know it?
It's not my thing.
Why not? Well, hang on. You like college football more than anything. Isn't that part of it, the pageantry? Because that is something it has in spades on the NFL. The NFL, there's no care. Like in the Northeast or in specific parts of the country, there's an obsession with the NFL. But specifically, when we're talking about teams – like the Michigan versus
Ohio State,
Ohio State or Alabama, any of the SEC things. I got goosebumps the other day. Where the hell was I? On St. Patrick's Day, the Saturday of, I went to McIntyre's, and there was this live band that was playing Dixieland Delight by Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And apparently that is a tradition at Alabama games where, like, they've inserted their own, like, choice language into the middle of it, which is like, F Auburn, F Auburn, F Auburn. Against the wall! Oh, not long!
That stuff I like more. Like, it's more I like the pageantry of it. It's the older, fight songs. That stuff doesn't do it for me.
No.
But, like, seeing...
I love the fight songs.
But, I like more of the modern stuff that we've seen in college football. Mr. Brightside at Michigan games looks incredible. My favorite
it's
thing.
It's so funny that everyone loves that song because it's such a downer of a song.
It is.
Someone played it at a wedding once, and I was like, do we want to play this at a wedding? Everyone's singing it, but isn't this about like someone boinking your girl? Like,
my favorite.
It's killing me.
my favorite tradition I've ever been a part of.
What?
Is jump around.
Oh, at Wisconsin. You go to a Wisconsin game?
To a Wisconsin
That's
game.
Fun.
That was so cool. It's so different.
The traditions there are better, and assuming that you can get alcohol in the stadium because these games are 4.5 hours long after you've had a long tailgate, then the college football in-person experience is much better than the NFL in-person experience.
I remember going to Northwest.
Kyle Field's fun to go to.
Yeah, I'm going to my first game this year. I think we talked about that.
My first game was Manziel's first game on the sideline because they gave me – they gave me a credential. I'm pretty sure I wasn't supposed to be like a photographer, but I was like, "You're giving me the opportunity to be on the field for a game." And I was standing next to Chris Fowler, who was the coolest. Couldn't believe how friendly he was because me and John Cassio, we were hanging out with like next to Fowler. Fowler was talking to us for a while, and to see Lee Corso. Back when Lee Corso was still throwing 100, the Sunshine Scooter.
Uh-huh.
Lee Corso, he's in his designer jeans, and he's like got his hands on his knees, and he's like leaning over on the sideline like he's still coaching. Made me laugh so hard.
That's awesome. That's one thing I haven't seen in college. I haven't seen College Game Day in action. I'd like to do that.
You got to get up at 6 in the morning.
That's tough.
They do the same thing for the college basketball one. I remember one time for a Syracuse game, I think they were playing some school, they're like, you can come early and sit in the background during ESPN broadcast. I was like, nah, I'm going to go to bed and stay hungover for a little longer before I go to this game.
I'm going
to
hard pass on that one. What are some of the positive things that we'll take away from yesterday's opening day loss? Because there still was good things that happened, but we'll still take your complaints, your day one complaints, into the Joe Espada era at 713-780-3776. It's Glott and George broadcasting live from Rose Hill Beer Garden out here in Cypress on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.